What's going on, everybody? Welcome in, as the man said, to Texans All Access on this Tuesday evening that I, your host, John Harris, football analyst and sideline reporter, going to treat like a Wednesday evening because we're going to have our draft Wednesday. Two big things. Number one, Drew Doherty and I have got this draft going on through our In the Lab podcast, and we started it last week. And we've not been able to update it this week because, well, really nobody has any power. Really, I'm the only one right now that has power. Mark had it yesterday to do enough of the show with me, but then he's been out of it. Drew's been out of it. DP's got very little, and she's got three families in her house. So basically, I'm the only one with power. But we've not been able to keep this draft going, and we're going to tonight. If you've missed it, I want to get you caught up. It's our first round. We got four rounds, basically four episodes, essentially. 32 picks. We are creating the all-time NFL team with one selection from every NFL team. 32 picks, 32 teams, 32 picks. Mine are already in the books, and I'm glad I did this. We did this last Wednesday, so we did this before J.J. Watt was traded. I was the lucky one. And smart one, I guess. Even though Drew's way smarter than I am. I chose J.J. Watt on my team, and I feel very, very good about that. So, we're going to have that for you later in the show, that draft, because that was an absolute blast. The second thing that will make this, I think, make it for a pretty cool draft Wednesday. That's going to be on a Tuesday, because tomorrow, I hope, potentially, maybe I might get some of my crew back. If not, well, we'll continue with the draft theme. But I figured the Harris 100 is done. Now, I can't promise you when it's going to get up on the site, but it's done. I've got all 100 written up, studied. I actually could go on into the 150 range if I needed to. As literal write-ups right now on February, what's that, 16th? So I figured, you know what? Let's do the ultimate 11 of the Harris 100 to give you an idea just in case. And you know what I'm referring to. Just in case. Who might be there, ... just in case. And everybody wants to know, whenever people talk to me, like, hey, who do you have in your top 10? Who do you have in your top 10? I always do 11. I've always done 11 because it's the ultimate 11. 11 is football. 11 is the football number. So that's why I do 11. So before I get to 11, let's talk about who just missed out making the ultimate 11 of the Harris 100. The top three players that missed out, one of them actually has a Houston connection. Two corners and a tackle. The two corners, Patrick Surtain from Alabama, Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. Now, I know right off the bat, most people have opinions about the two corners. I, in fact, was talking to a buddy of mine, and I didn't tell him what I thought, but he told me what he thought. And what he thinks, and it's not the same. I like Caleb Farley more than I like Patrick Surtain. Now, Farley did not play in the 2020 season. Surtain did. I don't know that I saw anything for Patrick Surtain that I felt was different from 2019 at all. And when I came out of 2019, I was like, yeah, he's a good player. He's got all the tools. He's got the DNA. Look, his dad was a three-time Pro Bowler for the Miami Dolphins. He played in high school with Tyson Campbell, who is a top 60. You know, he's a second-round pick at worst, who is now at Georgia. Boy, they were loaded. But he played for his dad, and he's got all the measurables. I just don't – it's not quite there yet. But, man, the tools are there. But when I watch Caleb Farley play football, man, he's a good player. But missed out on the Ultimate 11. Also, Patrick Surtain missed out on the Ultimate 11. Also missing out just barely a couple spots out, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, also from Clements High School. Now, Slater, similar to Farley, opted out of the 2020 season before it got started. Northwestern had a bang-up season. I mean, a really, really good season. But that doesn't take away from the player that Slater is. He is a big-time tackle, could also play guard in certain situations. But Caleb Farley, Rashawn Slater, and also Patrick Surtain, all three just on the outside. So, who makes the Ultimate 11? Well, let's start at number 11. And a guy that I saw his name a lot during the spring, but I think he is a whale of a player, and that is Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle from Virginia Tech. He came out of a small private high school, and his offers, scholarship offers, were to Morgan State, North Carolina Central, and Central Connecticut. And then one of the Virginia Tech coaches went and saw him at a camp, went back to campus and were like, hey, this guy could be our gem. He could be our diamond in the rough. And he has definitely been that. He is some kind of athlete, long, very quiet, doesn't say a whole lot. 6'5", 314-pound left tackle at number 11, Christian Darrisaw. Number 10, oh boy, let's start it already. Justin Fields from Ohio State, also transferred from Georgia. I went back and forth on all the quarterbacks. Back and forth. I just felt like the three guys that I have ahead of Justin Fields are, at this point, better overall throwers of the football, better overall in reading defenses, not taking sacks, not having to take off and scramble. Look, Justin Fields has a lot to be excited for. And if you want me to be brutally honest, which I will be, back in 2017, I knew that Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, those were the two best quarterbacks in that class. I had them at 14 and 15, respectively. I got Justin Fields at 10. So I do think highly of Justin Fields, but I really, really like the upside of some others that will come up in this Ultimate 11. Number 10, quarterback Justin Fields from Ohio State. Number 9, and I believe this will tell you something about this year's draft. This is the highest rated defensive player on the board. And that is Micah Parsons from Penn State, linebacker. He also opted out this year, but he's 6'3", 245 pounds. His 2019 tape is as good as I've seen. I've looked at a lot of linebackers the last few years. Devin White, Devin Bush, you name it. Guys that I felt like were coming to the league, like, oh, I think this guy's going to be fit. This guy is tailor-made to play in the NFL. Now, he's got some things in his off-the-field baggage that I don't want to get into, but that could be somewhere where he stubs his proverbial draft toe. But you talk about a guy that can find the football, plays the game violently, blitzes, attacks everything he does. Micah Parsons from Penn State, inside linebacker, stack linebacker. You can play him at any spot. Just look at what Tampa Bay has done with Devin White, and that's what a team is going to do with being Micah Parsons and have one heck of a football player. But I bring up the point about him being the highest-rated defensive player because this is an offensive draft to me. And it really kind of shows in my Harris 100, especially in this Ultimate 11. At number 8, Houston homeboy. Yeah, let's do it, from Episcopal High School. Jalen Waddle, 5'10", 182 pounds, missed the majority of the season for Alabama dealing with an ankle injury. Did make it back for a national championship game. Didn't do much on the first catch, crosser. Got out of bounds. You could tell he was not 100%, was limping badly on the foot. Continued to try and play. I think that says a lot about what this guy thinks about football, loves it, wants to be out on the field. When he is thoroughly and completely healthy, there is nobody in this draft class that even sniffs the explosiveness that he has. My favorite play of Jalen Waddle came in 2019 against Auburn. And they threw him a curl route about midfield. And there's a point at which you can pause the film and there are five Auburn defenders around him. And somehow, some way, he gets out of that not even being touched and then outraces everybody to the end zone, even people that had angles on him, seemingly. Jalen Waddle is all that and a bag of chips, man. He is absolutely as dynamic to watch as there is in the game. Number seven, ahead of Justin Fields, and some will go, huh? Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State. I think Lance's upside, if you want to use that word, is through the roof. Through the roof. And yeah, he played one game this year. He played against Central Arkansas and didn't do a whole lot in that game. And that was all he got. That was it. He and Dylan Raduns from out of North Dakota State, tackle, who's also in my top 60, I believe. Very good player, both from North Dakota State. I think, yes, Carson Wentz, take all that with Carson Wentz, all that's going on and whatever. Trey Lance, a little bit different player. The things he can do on a field, magical. Watching him back in 2019, man, he made throws. I'm like, I don't even know if Trevor Lawrence can make that throw. And Trevor Lawrence seemingly can make every throw. I love Trey Lance. He is there at number seven. If you see any mock draft that has the Texans trading and then drafting Trey Lance, you should be happy with that. This is one heck of a football player. Number six, from out of Oregon, offensive tackle. I love 6'6", 325 pounds. That's Penei Sewell. There are some that are sort of sour on him. Oh, I like Rashawn Slater better than him. Or I like Christian Darrisaw. He's got more upside. Nah, man, this dude is all football player. He is a fantastic watch. Whenever you watch this guy play, you're like, that's what an offensive lineman is supposed to look like. He wants to bury you in the run game. Does struggle a little bit with speed off the edge, but once you give him a second to adjust, my goodness. Last game he played was the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin. He went against Zach Bond, who's as fast as anybody I saw off the edge. And Bond beat him the first time, just got underneath him. Didn't make the sack, but got underneath him. And from that point on, Sewell just shut him down. Number six, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle out of Oregon. At number five, a name you've heard a lot, Zach Wilson from out of BYU. He is my second highest quarterback on the list. He's got a baseball type arm. He can make any throw. He can make it flat footed. He can make it on the run. He can throw off the back foot. He can make any throw you want him to throw. And if you're a Cougar fan, you watched all of that in a game against BYU this fall. Zach Wilson can get it done. He's at number five. 6'3", 212 pounds from out of BYU. I did a breakdown of every single play against Houston. I was just blown away by what I was seeing. And I know my man Andre Ware would be very happy with that. Zach Wilson's at least number two on my list. And number five in the Harris 100 overall. Number four, call him a tight end, call him a receiver, call him what you want, but call Kyle Pitts a baller from Florida. Had he stayed healthy, he might have been a Heisman Trophy candidate because he is electric. It doesn't matter where you line him up, where you put him. He's not going to block anybody. He tries. He's willing. He wants to. It's just not his game. But you put 6'6", 246 pounds on the outside, running routes, one-on-one against safeties, against corners, he will eat you alive. And for teams that saw what Gronk did, that saw what Kelsey did in the Super Bowl and even before that, George Kittle's doing it with the 49ers, Kyle Pitts is kind of that same vein from a pass-catching standpoint. If not more athletic, Kyle Pitts is the real deal. He's at number four in the top 11, the ultimate 11 of the Harris 100. Number three, now we get to the receivers. And I battled two and three. I went back and forth, two and three. And I eventually went with, not changing my mind from what I saw last year, and left at number two, Ja'Marr Chase, leaving at number three, the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith. Now, you can go back and forth with those two. But that's how I did it. Number three, Devontae Smith from Alabama. The Slim Reaper has been fantastic. Catches everything so good with every route, but I will tell you, I've seen slim receivers. I saw Will Fuller struggle a little bit the first couple of years trying to get to a point where he could get clean on his releases and do the things that Smith is going to want to do. And I don't think Smith has quite the 4-3 speed that Will Fuller does, but he does everything you want a receiver to do. Ja'Marr Chase is an all-round receiver. He can run by you. He can run through you. He can fight DBs off at the top of a route. He can catch everything. He put on absolute displays of athleticism and pass receiving in 2019 that were phenomenal. But he opted out of 2020 to get ready. I still think he is that type of player. In fact, in my Ultimate 11, between Ja'Marr Chase and Penei Sewell and Micah Parsons, some guys did opt out. But I had pretty high grades on them, so they ended up in the final 11. So at number two, Ja'Marr Chase from LSU. Number three, Devontae Smith, leaving at number one. Oh, yeah. Trevor Lawrence going to end up in Jacksonville. No big surprise about that. And he's Andrew Luck. He's mixed with Deshaun Watson. He's everything that Jacksonville is going to want, and it's going to stink to see him on the other side of the equation two times a year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Trevor Lawrence is at the number one spot in my Harris 100. The remaining Harris 100 will be out soon. It's done, but obviously we are fighting power issues, internet connectivity issues, but we will try and get that out to the people as soon as we can. All right, we get back. It's Draft Night Wednesday, even though it's a Tuesday. But on Draft Night Wednesday, Drew Doherty, John Harris, one team, one pick, 32 rounds. Episode one is next right here on Texans All Access. Texans All Access. Texans All Access. Yes, sir. Welcome back to a Draft Night Wednesday on a Tuesday. Yeah, that's what happens when I'm flying solo. I basically have locked the proverbial studio door and decided I wanted to do Draft Night Wednesday on a Tuesday. Yeah, sue me. Well, you might, so be careful. All right, I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst and sideline reporter. And it's time for our Draft Night Wednesday because tomorrow I might actually have people with me on the show, but tonight I'm not going to. So I figured, you know what, let's do a Draft Night Wednesday and play episode one of 32 teams, 32 picks. I just call it the draft between me, John Harris, and my pal, Drew Doherty. We do this on In the Lab, and this is a blast. It's also, there's some strategy to it. And it takes a little bit of understanding of the history of the game, taking into account what kind of team needs you have, and you'll hear right here that I make my pick for the Texans in this particular segment, in this episode. We got four of them, and hopefully we'll get back on the horn tomorrow and get that done, so we'll have that for you maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, we'll see. But this just kind of depends on how everybody's doing with power and water and all the essential things in life. But I figured it's nice to go back and take a listen to how we attack this on a Draft Night Wednesday. So let's go.
It's time to draft.
Oh, yeah.
We've got 32 picks. It starts now. You get to go first.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. One player per franchise.
This one's very easy to me.
Go for it.
Very easy because it is, to me, a priority position in the league. It's with a team where I struggled to find players. Mm-hmm. Really what I was going to do, and you give me the first pick. To me, it's a drop-dead lock. It's got to be Anthony Munoz of the Cincinnati Bengals, the left tackle.
You go with Munoz right off the bat.
Yeah.
Bengals. Good choice.
Ooh. All right. I had no idea what I was doing with the Bengals at all, and that just that handles it, so I feel good. All right.
Yeah. So in that regard, in a similar situation, it's really kind of tricky and really kind of tough.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go to Atlanta. And I'm going to take Deion Sanders off the board.
Ooh, that's a good one. Dadgummit. That's a good one because the one part of this was the franchise is trying to figure out.
That's the beauty.
Oh, man. The beauty. Okay.
You're going the same way I'm going.
So. Yeah. To a degree. Now, I also feel like there's a position that is probably more difficult than others. Now, left tackle is easy, but Cincinnati, to me, was hard. One team that has no issue as far as having plenty of players. But I think they have the greatest player at this position, and that's why I'm taking Larry Allen of the Dallas Cowboys at offensive guard.
Solid.
Yeah. You can see how I'm building. I'm building with my lines, and so that's where I'm going with those two. And I'm staying fairly true to my board.
I'm going to go to the New York Giants, and I'm taking LT, man.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. So LT's off the board. Oh, man.
I think I have the best corner and the best pass rusher right there. And it's tough because those two franchises, I think you're taking steps down after those two guys.
Yeah, I there's no question.
Not to say they're great players, but I think those guys are like crop.
And we should, with our first two picks, we should feel like Anthony Munoz, Larry Allen, two of the best offensive linemen. all right, I'm going to go ahead and do it right now because I do think when it comes to our franchise, I'm going to force you into having to make a decision on our franchise. So I'm just going to go ahead and do it and take
Justin James Watt from the Houston Texans as one of my defensive linemen, edge rushers, however you want to do it. J.J. Watt is now a Houston Harris.
No argument. That's who I would have chosen first from the Texans, simply because best player in the league defensively.
Yeah.
As voted by the folks 3 years, I think you could have made a case for the 13 season too, even though it was a bad year. Okay. I have like a list, and then I have a list.
Mm-hmm.
I had a list of just guys that I definitely want on my team no matter what.
Yeah, you did the same way I did. Yep.
And then I've got another list each franchise. And so I'm going to go back to my list, and I'm going to go to the Cleveland Browns, and I'm going to take the guy that my dad has always maintained is the best football player of all time. Not the best quarterback, but the best football player of all time, Jim Brown. So I'm going to go with him.
It's a good one.
He was amazing back in the day.
Yeah.
Retired early. Could have kept going. But, he was insane. Back when SportsCentury, ESPN did that SportsCentury series at the end of the last century, I think he was fourth maybe on the all-time list. So I'm going to go with Jim Brown.
That's pretty.
But it makes it tougher on you choosing a Brown. I guess you got to go with Baker Mayfield now.
I'm gonna have to reach way back, but I think I have one for the Browns. And since you've taken a Brown, I don't have to worry about you taking a guy like Ozzie Newsome. So I could still get a Hall of Famer at tight end, which I've thought about. But you know, there are certain positions that I look at and go, all right, where do I feel like is the best? And then I thought about 2014, and I'm like, man, what if the Texans had drafted with the number one pick, Aaron Donald?
Good choice.
Of Rams. So I'm going to make it happen. I'm putting a defensive tackle along with J.J. Watt and about what could have happened. I'm putting Aaron Donald with J.J. Watt of the Texans. So thus far, I've gone lines, Anthony Munoz left tackle, Larry Allen, Cowboys at guard. And then the great J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald together. So I've got two Hall of Famers and two active players that eventually will make the Hall of Fame. And amongst the two of us in four – have we made four picks yet? You haven't made yours yet. So seven picks thus far, three of them are the three players that have won Defensive Player of the Year three times.
That's pretty amazing.
Pretty good.
All right, I'm going to go back to the well up front. I'm like you. You got to be good up front. And I think we're waiting – we're kind of dancing around the quarterback here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to dance. I'm not taking a quarterback yet. I'm going to go back to the team that broke my heart so many times as a young lad. Loved them so much. Lots of choices of players you could take. But I'm going to take a guy who you can argue, I don't think he is, but you can argue is the greatest Oiler of all time.
Ooh.
Most people are going to say Earl Campbell, understandably so. I'm going to go with a guy because I think there's a lot of great running backs that you could cycle in there with Earl. And I might choose him – well, no, I can't because I'm doing this. But I'm going with Bruce Matthews because he can play anywhere. He was Pro Bowler at all five positions up front. But I'm going to choose him. So that – I can't take any Titans. I can't take any more Oilers.
Yeah.
But I'd like to take Earl Campbell. I've pretty much given him to you if you want.
You know, the thing about running back, I you know, I don't want to lose the opportunity for running backs, but I just feel like there are some options at running back.
There sure are.
So I don't feel horrible about that. I'm gonna stick with the lines and go back to the offensive line on this one.
Okay.
Because I watched this guy growing up and I felt like before he was injured, he was the greatest center that ever lived. I'm going to the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to take Dwight Stevenson at center.
Good choice. Yeah, his last year in the league was 1987. He was an all-pro, and he'd been all-pro, I think, the previous 4 years before that. So
yeah, and so that takes my Dolphin off the board. And, you know, it's interesting because I had a bunch of Dolphins that I had written down, like, that I wanted to, you know, have on my board. And I was like – and then I wrote Stevenson. I was like, no, I've got to get him. Because after that, for centers, I mean, look, there are some options. There's no doubt. There's a great one. I don't want to give you any ideas. But I felt like with Miami, Marino was not going to be my guy. And then I was like, where else would I go with Miami? And that that hit me, and I'll go that way. Zach Thomas would have been another guy I would look at a linebacker just because of how productive he was.
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I think it's –
there's no question.
I think it's an oversight right now that he should be in the Hall of Fame. It was really cool. When I was in Lubbock, I was there from 2005 to 2009. 06, 07-ish, during that Dolphins bye week, the Lubbock Chamber of Commerce had him back, had Zach Thomas back, and they honored him. And it was a massive turnout. He was there. Jason Taylor was there. A few other Dolphins. I think Wes Welker was back because –
yeah.
I believe it was 06 because he would have been still with the Dolphins.
Yes.
It was really cool. Cool thing there. Okay. Seattle is a tricky franchise.
Yes.
So is Steve Largent, and you wouldn't be wrong going there with wide receiver, but I like their left tackle. I want to be good up front. And good. I think this Chester Pitts, who I'm with every Sunday at home when the Texans play a game, and he comes on the shows a couple times in the offseason. He played left guard. He started out as a left tackle, knows how tough it is to play offensive line in the NFL, and he is adamant about Walter Jones being the greatest left tackle of all time. Says it's not even a debate. And I tried to debate him and say Anthony Munoz, so he wouldn't have any of it. That's for another time. But I'm gonna honor Chester's pick here. This is kind of a proxy pick, and I'm going to go with Walter Jones, and I'm going to eliminate my Seahawks choice off the board. So I've got – an offensive line of Matthews and Walter Jones so far.
Boy, that is – that's pretty good. Now, I'm going to go to a team that I felt like was – I felt like very tricky, even though they've been around for 60-some-odd years. Well, but
I think I know where you're going.
I started thinking about them going, man, what am I going to do from the Vikings? And I just
– you have about 31 availabilities here. That was a really tough one. They have so many great, great players.
Right. And then I started thinking, all right, where did they have a great player where I feel like I can kind of continue with my theme in some sense? And I'm literally going one of two ways. But in my heart of hearts – I do feel like because of what I've done with the defensive line, I don't have to go there. So I'm going to go with guard, Hall of Fame guard, and I think one of the better ones ever, Randall McDaniel from the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm going to put him opposite Larry Allen. I was always a big fan of Randall McDaniel, the Hall of Fame offensive guard. So my offensive line has really come into view. But I, you know, Drew, I struggled, and I don't know, maybe that's – it's because I grew up as a Packers fan and just hated the Vikings. But there was one guy I considered, but then I was like, we talked about this earlier. Randy Moss, is he a Viking? Is he a Patriot? Like, what is he? And so I wanted to stay true to the franchise aspect of things. And so I went with McDaniel, who spent the majority, if not all of his career, with the Minnesota Vikings. And I know that my man Tyler Sudhart is like, yeah, forks up, baby, Sun Devil, blah, blah, blah. You know. So he's happy with that. So there we go.
All right. Another franchise that's been around a long time and has had a lot of great players, and they won a lot of championships, but they haven't done it since Eisenhower was president, I think, the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Now, I already took a running back. I took Jim Brown.
Yeah. Oh,
tempted here. But instead, I'm going to go with a wide receiver.
You are.
Calvin Johnson. I think he's one of the best Lions of all time. And I don't have a big playmaking pass catcher yet, so I'm going to get Megatron. I still don't know how we stopped him in the second half in 2009. Yeah. Because everything he did in the first half was like with ease, and I thought he was going to have 7 touchdowns that day. I mean, he just went to town.
So –
Lions are off the board for me.
Yeah, Lions off the board for you. Now, off the board for me, Bengals, Cowboys, Dolphins, Vikings, Texans, Rams. In doing this exercise, one of the things that you think about are your most recent franchises, because those obviously, mathematically, would seemingly have fewer players that you would want to just grasp onto, and that's the guy.
Yep.
So I got to finish my offensive line. So this one to me was easy because I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. and he was actually a Texan for a period. My final pick, and I will move him over to right tackle, and I feel okay with that.
No, you got one more. This is seven. One, two.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
But I'm finishing my offensive line by adding Tony Boselli to my line. My two tackles are from USC. Both of them played in the AFC. But I wasn't totally sure what I wanted to do with Jacksonville, even though I live there, and I know they've had some players. I just felt like there wasn't anybody other than to me, Boselli's the greatest Jaguar there's been. Mm-hmm. I think he should go into the Hall of Fame. It should be in the Hall of Fame. And I feel like he should have gone in with this crew, but he's not. But I wasn't sure exactly where I would go with the Jags. And so I was like, you know what? Boselli's the best Jaguar there's been. Finishes my offensive line. I feel good about that. Away we go. So now you have to decide on somebody from Jacksonville.
I know where I'm going to Jacksonville. It's easy. I'm going to wait. I don't need to do that now. But the Eagles, that's a franchise that's tough. And because they've had a lot of great players. Mm-hmm. But I think the drop-off after this guy is pretty substantial. So I'm going to go with Reggie White from the Eagles, Minister of Defense. So I've got Reggie. I've got Lawrence Taylor. Now, that's a weird defense. What are you going to run? Are you going to run 3-4, 4-3? I don't think it really matters.
Who cares?
Can't send any of that. So I'm going with Reggie White.
All right.
You can't take him from the Packers, but I didn't think you would.
No.
And that's who I'm going to go with.
Okay.
Back to your quarterback, bro.
Yeah. So I'm going back to the thought of most recent franchises because to me, trying to find all-time players in some sense from a particular franchise gets pretty difficult, especially after Boselli. I know you probably have one. I actually have one that I could have gone with that might have been shocking, and I think he actually should be up for the Hall of Fame, but that I'll leave that for a different time. And when you go to Jacksonville, you actually see him doing the Chester Pitts thing with like Chester does with you up on the board. You see him there, but I don't want to give you any ideas, but he's a running back. You've already got a running back. So I'm going to the Carolina Panthers. And so at this point, please, I'm thinking, I met him in 2011. At the Lombardi Awards. I thought he was absolutely awesome. I loved him. I'm glad he ended up in Carolina. He was my nephew's and niece's favorite player. Everybody loves Luke Kuechly. I am adding the smartest defensive player ever. You don't get all – I have Luke Kuechly, Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt. I feel very good about what I'm doing. Take the Carolina Panthers off the board. And, look, you're not dead in the water with Panthers. But Panthers and Jags.
Yeah.
I know who you could go with the Panthers, and it actually would be a very, very good pick. Because, like you said when we started all this, you've got other jobs on a football team that you've got to get taken care of. And if you can do it with more than a player, do more jobs with one player, then you're going to be sitting pretty. So that was my eighth pick of the day, Luke Kuechly from the Carolina Panthers.
It's a good
one. All right. You got one left.
You got me. So we're going to just do eight today. I like this. Originally, I said, hey, let's do 16, but we can break this up over four. And this is going to be pretty easy to do as far as like setting it up and making it go and all that other stuff. But I've got a great right tackle, or excuse me, a great left tackle. And I think I'm going to start to round out my offensive line. As you know, I went to SMU. I was there in pretty lean times, not the leanest SMU times, but they were pretty lean. They had losing seasons. My freshman, junior, and senior years went 6-5 as a sophomore, played in the Cotton Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That was our home stadium. We never played in a bowl game, but the home stadium back then for the SMU Mustangs was the Cotton Bowl. And as you know, the Cotton Bowl seats, 70, 80,000?
Yeah.
We would routinely pack 16,000 on a good day. So crawl out and kick your legs up. And didn't see too many great players come through. Chris Fumata-Mafala, Brian Urlacher, I think they were some guys that we saw.
Yeah.
But one of the greatest SMU Mustangs of all time to play. He came back and was the first coach after the death penalty to kind of get them back on their feet. Did an admirable job there. But this guy was a hell of a football player for the Green Bay Packers. He was a right tackle. He's in the Hall of Fame. Many say he's maybe the one of the greatest offensive linemen of all time. I'm going to go with Forrest Gregg. So I've got Forrest Gregg. I've got Walter Jones over at left tackle. I've got Bruce Matthews, sort of Roman wherever. We're going to figure out a spot for him in the guard, center guard spot. But I'm going with Forrest Gregg, and I'm going to give you lots of options when we start picking again for the Packers. But to reiterate, your line, you started off with Anthony Munoz of the Bengals.
Love it.
You got Larry Allen from the Cowboys. That was your second pick, offensive lineman. Your third pick with J.J. Watt, the Texans. He's a versatile guy. He can play end. He can do
a lot of things.
Play on the inside. We know that. You went with Aaron Donald. Man, you got Watt and Donald, two greatest defensive players of this decade. And then after that, you had Stevenson, Dwight Stevenson, the center, all-pro from the Dolphins. Randall McDaniel, all-pro guard from the Vikings. You got Tony Boselli of the Jaguars. I think he's probably the greatest Jaguar. You took him off the board. And then you wrap things up with probably the greatest Panther, and that was who I was going to pick, Luke Kuechly at linebacker. That's a good unit. You've got a good start there, John. Neither of us have picked a quarterback yet.
Yeah.
And there's still time for that.
I don't want to say that it's in this exercise, I feel like this was that's the easiest position to pick. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in that because I feel like I can go a lot of different ways with that particular pick.
Think I'm right? I feel like I'm right in that I'm going to get a quarterback later. I'm going to let Drew take whichever one he wants. I've got a few teams narrowed down, but that's the one I think I'm gonna take later because I feel like with my team in that offensive line, I can mold this in a lot of different ways. All right, we'll have the next episode for you either tomorrow night or maybe later in the week, depending on when Drew and I can get all of our power back and back on. But that is a fun, fun draft. And we're doing draft night Wednesday on Tuesday. All right, we get back. Let's go around the league. A couple of things have hit around the league, and we'll just kind of take a little stock report of those particular things next, going around the NFL right here in Texans All Access. We got one final segment of this chilly Draft Wednesday episode on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Sean Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. We have my Ultimate 11 of the Harris 100. The Harris 100 is done, locked in, not changing anything, got it ready to go. I don't know exactly when we'll post it just because of all the different issues people are having. I don't even know if I could send it, to be honest with you. It's that big. So it's coming out. But I figured, you know what, let's share the Ultimate 11 with you because I know you guys want to know about the draft and you like reading the Harris 100, and I really, really, really appreciate that, no doubt about it. We also did our Draft Night Wednesday on a Tuesday draft. We just call it the draft. 32 teams, 32 picks. Drew Doherty and I going through this exercise, and it's a blast. If we could have gotten Drew DP and Mark involved in it, that would have made it that much more difficult to do. But it would have been fun nonetheless. We've had a good time with that. So let's bounce around the league and hit a few high points, if you will. Saw this one, and we mentioned this a little bit the other night. Vincent Jackson, three-time Pro Bowl receiver, found dead at a Homewood Suites Hotel in Brandon, Florida at the age of 38. That one hit a lot of people throughout the league pretty hard. I heard Trap J, who's a teammate of his out in San Diego, and talked about Vincent and what a great role model he was. He was a four-time nominee, I believe it was from the Buccaneers, as Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Just a gut punch of a story with Vincent Jackson found dead, three-time Pro Bowler, found dead at the age of 38. This came up with the Carolina Panthers. And I'm listening. Carolina Panthers are going to release defensive tackle Kaywon Short. Now, I know you're looking at Kaywon Short. If you don't really follow the Panthers too much, maybe you're not totally immersed in it. Not totally sure about this guy, but I will tell you, he was as good an interior player as the NFC had for a while. It was he, Mike Daniels, those two guys, Akeem Hicks with the Bears when he came over there from the Saints. He was a stout individual. Two Pro Bowls. Last one, I believe, was in 2017, 2018. He was fantastic. I don't believe he played in the game against the Texans in 2019. I think he was dealing with an injury at that point. But he's 32 years old, hasn't played a bunch the last couple of years. Maybe there's still some tread on the tire. We'll see. But kind of a similar situation in some sense to what Houston had going on with the JJ, about the same age, had dealt with some injury issues, and ready to move on. And that's what the Panthers are doing from Kawan Short. Now, as it pertains to the Texans, my friends Landry Locker and John Lopez would say, localize it. Well, vocalizing would be Texans, maybe? I don't know. I think if this team is, regardless, the team, they've got to repair the defense, rebuild it, repair it, however you look at it. I think I'd rather do that with some young pieces. However, one thing I have learned in this league is, yeah, you can go young across the board, but if you don't have any vets in the locker room or in a position group meeting, it's kind of blind lead the blind in some sense. So having a vet in the room is very, very helpful. Now, you still have guys like Brandon Dunn in the room. PJ Hall's been around for a little bit. But you need to have some veteran presence in that room, as long as that veteran presence can still go on the field and hold his own and make plays and do some things. Maybe not 100% of the time, but can at least go out there and be a veteran presence but still make plays. I'll be all about that, if you will. The Tennessee Titans have contacted the aforementioned J.J. Watt. The Cleveland Browns, it has been rumored, are leading the way for J.J. Watt's services. Now, both of them being in the AFC, J.J. playing for the Browns, I think I could handle more than him playing for the Titans. We'll play the Browns once in 2021. We'll play the Titans twice. He'll be out of division. I'd rather him go to Green Bay. I just don't know that Green Bay's salary cap situation is going to allow for that. That, I think, is going to be the toughest part, is the contract situation. I think the Titans have got some cap room. I think the Browns definitely have some cap room, even though they just paid Myles Garrett. But, man, Myles Garrett on one side, J.J. Watt on the other. One free agent that's very interesting to me is Allen Robinson. We saw him up close in Chicago, at least I did. You guys saw him on TV. He said he and the Bears have not had any contract talks since September as the franchise tag deadline nears. Now, that's one we're keeping an eye on, because that could be Will Fuller's situation if he gets franchised. But if neither Fuller and or Robinson are franchised, maybe there's a potential. Now, I would imagine A-Rob's going to want to get paid some money. And he has said he is open to going back to Chicago or back to Jacksonville. I could see a path here in Houston. I would love that. I would love to add. Allen Robinson's been one of my favorite players to watch for a very, very long time. To watch him carve us up the way that he did that Sunday in Chicago was just, oh, it was awful. Allen Robinson, Texan, maybe? I'd think about it for sure. Got to see what the finances are, but yeah, I definitely would think about it. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll see what the weather gods bring down upon us, but we'll have radio for you. There's no doubt about that. You can count on that for sure. For me, for Drew, for everybody participating in this show, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. And as always, go Texans.